It's the big interview with me, Peter, and over the course of this interview, I'm going to be chatting to four of the Mr. Gay Europe finalists. I've got Mr. Gay England, Mr. Gay Ukraine, Mr. Gay Czech Republic, but joining me right now is the gorgeous Andrea Pallone,
yes.
Mr. Gay Italy. Hello.
Hello.
How are you, my love?
I'm very well, very well. Enjoy my time here.
Right. Tell me, we're just chatting off air, Pallone, because I like to make sure that I've got the right pronunciation. What does that mean?
It actually means big hairs. And if you say me, I'm a kind of like hairy.
Your hair all over, aren't you, love? I mean, you know, is there any skin underneath there?
Yeah, there is. Hidden.
So tell me about you, Andrea. Which part of Italy are you originally from?
I am originally from Tivoli, which is a small town approximately like 45 minutes. Far from Rome.
So describe it, because it sounds idyllic. Is it all olive oil and gorgeous people walking around?
It's not just olive oil. It's a beautiful city which is known for a massive garden with all fountains, and each fountain has a specific name. We used to have, it was owned by a cardinal, a priest, which was very famous. It's called Villa d'Este, which is the meat of the city, and everyone from all over the world that come and visit. That's why we're famous. And it's nothing similar to the Tivoli Gardens in Denmark. No, nothing to compare about.
And yours are better.
Yeah, of course. Italians do it better. Always.
Oh, well, we'll come on to that later.
Always.
So tell me, little Andrea, growing up in this gorgeous paradise, it sounds like, what was it like? How were you as a young gay man? Or were you not out as a young kid?
So, to be honest, I don't come from a bad, like, coming out story. I had kind of breezy, I won't say easy breezy, but very accepting family. Since the moment I decided to don't, right, I had a really welcoming, you know, accepting and supporting father, mother, you know. I mean, I discovered myself at the age of 11 with one of my best friends. He was only 2 years older, and we were kind of like going into that path of discovering things.
Okay.
So also, you know, I kind of was happy and lucky enough to find out my homosexuality in a good way, rather than, you know, we hear about people getting molested,
yeah,
or raped, etc. So I don't come from like a negative path. The only fact is, like, of course, until the age of 16, I was living on my own, so I left my family house to pursue my dream as a dancer, and at the age of 18, I was already living abroad. So I'm nearly 33 in November, and I moved away abroad since the age of 18.
Wow.
So therefore, like, I kind of like grew myself, like, kind of like grew into all the countries I moved into. And I kind of live in Holland, Mexico City, the UK for the past 11 years. So it was very open-minded. I could live my life easily. But I know for certain that every single time I go back home, it doesn't feel like home anymore, because right, my lifestyle is resonated by society. It's kind of repercussed onto my family. So therefore, I kind of have to put an act when I go back to Italy, which I'm not supposed to. Why would I? But I must either do it not because I care about what people think about me, it's because to protect my family.
To protect your family. And that's a good thing to do at the end of the day. You don't want your family hurtful by this. But your family accept you for who you are?
Yes. Accept me for who I am.
And that's all that matters then.
My father's, which, you know, he's trying to, bless his heart, is doing his part to be a better father. And it's been really supported throughout the whole Mr. Gay Europe, throughout all you know, all my bodybuilding successes and my business successes as a, you know, a strong, young, gay member of the LGBTQ community, professionally, emotionally, ethically, principally. And I think we're making amends.
And that's it's all a journey, because it's not just a journey for you when you come out. It's a journey for your family, as well. And, you know, we've got to accept that. And you know, if other people don't accept it, then that's their loss, as long as you've got a strong family behind you.
Yeah. You know what? I always believe, like, you can choose your own family. It doesn't have to be by blood only. So that I'm lucky enough, you know, I've been celebrating, you know, big celebration at Christmas, only for my parents are divorced. So every single time I go back home, it feels like, I feel like a puppet, like a game. Oh, you spent more time with your mother, father. So I'd rather always go to a normal week, spending a few days, and I always celebrate the birthdays or Christmases with my London family. You know, I've got two families, my block family and my, let's say, you know, friends' family, people that kind of grew up with.
Who buys you the best presents at Christmas?
No one does because...
No,
I treat myself sometimes for birthday and Christmases, but I didn't really need material stuff. I'm happy with what I've got in my life and I work hard for what I've got, and it's more rewarding than someone handed to me, to be honest.
And you do work hard, particularly with your bodybuilding. You've got a very nice body. I have seen it clothed, of course, you know, but you do like your little videos with your little posing pouch and whatnot. And that's one of your big messages from this experience as Mr. Gay Italy. You want to put a positive spin on bodybuilding. Tell me about that.
So my positive spin, which was my project, which I deliver... in front of the mayor and the mayoress and the member of parliament, I want to bring more inclusivity into something that is reigned by machismo and toxic masculinity, and there's no much diversity and inclusivity. If you think about it, like, our trans allies are not allowed to compete in the States anymore as a female athlete because they might have advantage against women, towards the women. So therefore, like, I think in all these years of me being accepted, but the only thing that we accept is to stay true to who you are. And my message is, I've been working hard to make a name for myself out there, you know, highlighting my name as a successful gay man, because I made the world fall in love with me for who I am. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to put the mask on or say, oh, I'm straight when I'm not. When we know there's a lot of hidden athletes that they need to feel the need to be close to them because they don't want to have any repercussion from living their life. Which it shouldn't matter who I'm sleeping with, who I fall in love with. I'm Andrea. I'm a human being. I should have equal rights.
And I know the sport to watch and admire, and it's a very nice sport to admire. And I've got a girlfriend, and she's a bodybuilder, and she's just come back from America, and she says it's a really lovely, supportive family. You know, when you meet people, yeah, and everybody's on your side and they help you. But what is it like as a gay person within the sport? Are you still admired and brought into the family, or is it frowned upon, or do you not mention it? Or
about me being gay?
Yeah.
No. Like, I'm open. Like, I do. I created a niche and a message around empowering women as well, because this is so. I teach a lot of women how to pose. I'm a posing professional. I'm internationally and nationally, so my name is going abroad as well. I've got clients from South Africa, Sydney, States, you know, but I work hard for it. Like, for me, this is it's not just my work, it's my lifestyle, it's my passion, it's something that saved my life from drugs. We will get to that, because I don't want to break down again, as I did in the town hall. But this is how I made my name, by just staying true to who I am. And people love me for... That's why women, they feel less intimidated to come to me, because, like, there's no competition. Like, women sometimes can be very competitive. So women that comes to me, choose me, because they love who I am. I teach on heels, and some message out there to be empowering also gay men, not just women, to be who they are. Sometimes, of course, you receive those, you know, trolls, not liking, but you can't please everyone. Come on, I understand that.
No.
But you know what? This is for me to strengthen my bones to continue pushing forward with my message of, like, stay true to who you are, no matter if you're gay, if you're black, if you're trans. We all are in this world because we're beautiful just the way we are.
If people are moaning about you in life, then you're doing something right. And
amen to that.
And that's how you've got to think about it, hasn't it? Turn a negative into a positive. So you've turned bodybuilding into a positive, but you just mentioned there that had it not have happened, you could have gone down a different path. And what path would that have been?
So when I moved to London, you know, I knew nothing about drugs, clubbing, nothing. I was no against it. I've never been judgmental, because you can do whatever you like. It's your life. But then, you know, I was a professional dancer, and that came to an end around 24, the age of 24, 25. And my whole world collapsed and it went downhill. Because I was like, I felt lost. I felt worthless. I was like, okay, I did this for 14 years. What am I going to do next? So I felt kind of like this clubbing, the enjoyment was like an escape. But that went, it'll be a half end. Not really an addiction, but it was constantly. And always felt empty, ended and worthless. Lots of friends left me because they saw the issue rising to the surface. And after reaching rock bottom, finding this not self-love momentum, and I basically found myself in front of two choices. rise up to all the challenges in life has thrown at me and just dust myself off and continue persevering towards the light, or just stay where I was. And I chose the light.
Amen. And it's a sad thing, particularly with dancers, that by 24, 25, 26, your career is kind of coming to an end, because that used to be my background. But being so young, and you've trained all your life for this, you kind of think, well, what do I do next? It's like footballers, you know, professional footballers, 35, 36, though there are some great footballers in their 40s still, but it is still seen very much as an 18 to 30-year-old sport. And once it's done, what do you do? You know, so therefore, you do look at other excesses that can fill that void in your life.
Like for me, then, when I discovered fitness and bodybuilding and going back up on that stage, people, my message can come sometimes across wrong, like, oh, you're self-centered or into yourself. No, I love myself now, but I came from the path of not self-love, and there's nothing wrong with loving yourself, because in order to be inspired in others, you have to be your own inspiration. You have to find the love for yourself before starting loving others and be that inspiration for the others. Because for me, fitness, that is the message. I put other people's needs before mine. So I need to be an inspiration to them in order to do better and become the best version of themselves. That's what, for me, my project is to bring people together through the fitness community and the health and well-being to talk about mental health, body dysmorphia, because we always think about what society wants us to look like, act like. It's like, we shouldn't care. You need to feel good about yourself for your own good and worth.
Oh, you're on your soapbox today, aren't you? You're doing all right, love. You're doing all right. Now, by the time this interview goes out, we will know who Mr. Gay Europe is.
Yeah.
So tell me, I'm giving you the crown. Congratulations, you've won. You don't need to turn up at the weekend and compete for it. What would it mean to you?
For me, will be, first of all, like, an achievement to all those people that felt completely useless and worthless in this life, that can do better, and they can be a successful member of the LGBT community, despite the fact of coming from a place of not self-love, not acceptance, and just continue to push forward to find the brightness and light in order to create and manifest a better future for themselves. Because if I can do it, everyone can.
Well, I've got my posing pouch here, so
let's go and do it.
So shall we go and have a little practice in
yes,
front
let's
of the
go
mirror,
and
we'll get the next Mr. Gay in. Thank you very much, Andrea.
Thank you.
Well, I put my posing pouch away. That was fun, Andrea. Thanks for that. And now I'm joined by my next Mr. Gay Europe. It is Mr. Gay Czech Republic. It's Kevin Drabek. Did I say that okay?
Yes, you said hello.
There you are, you see. You see, I'm quite good at these languages. Hello, Kevin. Which part of the Czech Republic are you from?
Mm-hmm. I am from Prague, directly from the old town. So everybody who was in Prague had to be close to my home.
So you're on the tourist route, you're on the tourist attraction
exactly.
route.
Exactly, I cannot sleep fine because all the night there are people crying.
Walking around, taking photos, pointing at things and shouting.
Yes, and there are also night bars.
Ah, party city. I have been to Prague on many occasions. It's a beautiful, beautiful city.
Thank you.
What's it like there to be a gay man?
I would say Prague is very liberal. It made big changes since the communism fell. I remember that. So now it's a fully rebel town, city. Last week there was the Pride, Prague Pride. Excellent. So I'm very happy to live in Prague. I'm absolutely open at work, in the family, outside. I have absolutely no troubles. So I'm happy in Prague, really happy.
And the Czech Republic in general, does it have strong LGBT rights, or is there still a long way to go? Because it's a young country in the sense that it's come out of communism. I mean, I know it's been around for generations, but what's it like now for rights?
Yeah, so we mustn't forget the First Republic until the Second World War was okay. This was a very democratic country. Unluckily, then happened what happened. And since 1989, there were big changes, or there have been big changes done. And I would say it is absolutely not bad. But the last thing we would wish to have is the marriage. We have a sort of marriage, which is the partnership. It's not marriage 100%, I would say 90%. So I hope it will come through. It's in parliament for 2 years. It went through the first reading. Trouble is there are many, many other troubles now. Czech Republic leads the presidency of the European Union now. So it's a little bit complicated. We have other problems to solve.
No, and at least it's been talked about and at least it's luckily on the agenda. But I imagine, like any country, the UK included, that, you know, the city's very cosmopolitan and lots of liberal views towards sexuality and gender identity. The further afield that you get, maybe the views change. And is that still very much about the Czech Republic, or is it across the country that actually, you know, you can live as a proud gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender person?
I can say you can live also in the village and be proud. You will have no troubles. Nobody will do anything. But of course, cities are more cosmopolitan, as you said. So in the village, you can be seen through the fingers a little bit. Nobody tells you anything. So nothing like this. But you will be spoken about.
Well, you know, sometimes it's good to be talked about. Makes a bit of an entrance, doesn't it, when you walk in? Tell me about young Kevin growing up. You know, when did you suddenly realize that, you know, I might be attracted to him rather than her?
Since the very beginning, I always knew it. Even though there were no information in communism, I knew it. Yeah, so this is something so natural as walking in an end. Yeah, so I knew it from the very beginning.
And did you, a lot of the times, my family told me, they said, "We think you're gay," and I said, "Well, I don't know what I am, but they could spot it, you know, and they knew who I was." Was that the same with your family, or was it a difficult conversation to have? Did you have to move away and come back?
This was very funny because it was before my A-levels, before I left the secondary school, and I was with my boyfriend on holidays for a long time, and I didn't come in time for school. And my mother was completely crazy. "You don't finish the school. What will you do in the future?" And I told her I was away, and she's with some girl. I said, "With the boy." "Good." And she was relieved because I finished the school.
Yeah, not bothered about your sexuality. As long as you finish your A-levels, that's
then it's
good.
Okay.
Then it's good. And then when you get your A-levels, then we'll sit down and have a conversation. How fun. With this particular competition, everybody has to have a project. Everybody has to have something that they're passionate about. What's your one thing that you're pushing as Mr. Gay Czech Republic? Mm-hmm.
Because I'm 49 years old, so it's logical. I developed the project with my friend from South Africa, David Wicks, which is called Affirmative Aging. It is something else than positive aging. Positive aging is more about the health and an end. Affirmative aging is more about the acceptance of both counterparts, the young people and older people. The older people mustn't be invisible. They must be respected, of course, the youth as well. I want equality for both counterparts. This is my goal.
And do you think we are our own worst enemies, our community? Because I'm 51, and when I go out and I see all the younglings all in their 20s, they do kind of look at you as if to say, "What are you doing in this bar? You know, why are you here?" Even though I was there before they were born, you know, it's my bar, not your bar. But do you think that we are, because we're bombarded in the gay world with handsome young men in underwear and speedos and everything's youth. That's our fault, surely, because we buy it, you know, and do we need to educate ourselves, or do we need to educate everyone?
I think we have to educate everyone, yeah. So I believe there are singers who are already older. They are still active. They are still respected. And I believe there can be also switched on older models. Also, even old men and women can be very beautiful. Old, I mean 50, 60. These can be very, really very beautiful people. Look, I cannot name any trademarks. Yeah, so there is a trademark in Australia which uses the older models. And these are very beautiful men and women.
You're saying that as you're looking at me, so obviously, you know, I should go to Australia and do that and become a trademark and become a model myself.
You can, and this is the goal. You can reach anything at any age. What will protect you from that?
So by the time this interview goes out, we'll know who's won. So I'm going to give you the title. So you don't have to do anything. There you are. You're Mr. Gay Europe. What would that mean to you? I mean, is it just a bit of fun? This it's about the whole journey, and it's about, you know, you getting your message heard all the way through this, or do you think this could be a positive life changing moment for you?
I think life changing moment not, because the life consists of many parts. Yeah, I would say I'm happy I'm here, even though I'm 49 years old. I could experience it, and I can use this experience also in the future, in my future plans, which I cannot name now. Yeah, but definitely I'm happy I was here. I met many people. I didn't want to go because I said 49, I have crises, and then I went, and I'm happy I did.
So what would you do if I could take you back in time to 16-year-old Kevin? And I said, 16-year-old Kevin, guess what? 49-year-old Kevin's going to be sat here on the radio having a little chat, be entering Mr. Gay Europe, going to have all these positive messages. Would the 16-year-old recognise this, or what advice would you give them?
I think the 16-year-old Kevin wouldn't know there is any Mr. Gay Europe or any Mr. Gay Czechia or whatever.
So he'd be a bit surprised.
Yes.
But he'd be a positive. I mean, from the background that you've come from, you know, a communist background now to a free market background, a future, that's a massive change in itself. So
It is.
So change can happen.
Yeah, and I can see the younger generation who grew up already in freedom, and they are absolutely fantastic. This is different generation. That's perfect what happened, and I hope it will go on.
And you're going to be flying that flag out and proud for a long time to come.
Yes, of course.
So if people wanted to find out more about your project and your campaign, how could they do that?
Definitely they could find on my social media. They are surely foundable in MGE 2022, MGE Mr. K Europe, you'll find there, or under Kevin Drabek 007.
007.
Yes.
Oh, you see yourself as the new Bond then, don't you?
As a new Bond, not, but I love the Bond very much.
Do you?
Yes.
Who's your favourite Bond?
Craig.
He is good, isn't he?
Yes.
So who's going to be the new Bond then? Who do you think?
I don't know. I will accept anyone.
Well, you know, with this life-affirming thing, it could be you.
Oh, thank you. This would be beautiful.
Yeah.
This would be very beautiful. But I hope Mr. Bond didn't die in the last story.
What? Somebody might not have seen it yet.
No.
I know it was very sad, wasn't it? But anyway,
yes.
Look at us. It's turned into a film review, not about Mr. Gay Europe. It's been an absolute delight talking to you. And the next time I'm in Prague and I'm by the big clock, I won't make as much noise this time when I'm singing at 6 in the morning.
I will definitely hear it.
You throw a bucket of water out of the window. Thank you very much, Kevin.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Well, I'm feeling all shaken and stirred there talking to Mr. Czech Republic. So it's time now for my next Mr. Gay. It's Mr. Gay England. It's Paul Dennison. Hello there.
Hello. How are you?
I'm living the dream. How are you chatting to you all today?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm living the dream too.
Good, good, good. Tell us which part of England you're from, Paul.
So I'm originally from Banbury in Oxfordshire. So I am an Oxfordshire boy. But I've lived in London probably for about 17/18 years, I think now.
So tell us about growing up in Oxfordshire. Was it a good place to come out as a young gay man, or did you escape to London to do that?
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I did. especially because I decided to go into acting. Don't know why. But coming out in drama school in London was perfectly fine. There was nothing wrong about it in the slightest. If I'd have done that in Banbury, no, I would have got bullied a hell of a lot more. In fact, I was bullied at school, and they were going around. It was also my big brother bullied me for a while and got everyone else to bully me, saying, oh, gay. Bleh. And I was kind of like, haha, yeah, I am. But yeah.
but was that banter, or were you gay at the time, or did you not know? Was it just, you know, people throw words around, you know, and it's an easy target, or was that because, you know, yeah, I have a boyfriend, you know? Or...
No, to be honest with you, a lot of people don't even remember it, but I remember at the age of 8 that I just liked being around boys, or I had some kind of attraction. I know that's quite young, but I just remember not that young. And I've always just known that I was gay. But yeah, I didn't come out until drama school. So I was probably about 21 or 20 something or other when I did come out. However, yeah, it was just incredibly easy. By the way, I would like to say my brother did do a very gentleman thing, and he came up to me when our parents were on holiday, shook my hand and said, look, I really apologize for bullying you, and I want to put that all behind if that's okay with you. And I just, I gave him a massive hug, and yeah, we love each other and we're really good.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what I say. A lot of the time, words are hurtful, but there's a lot of sibling rivalry and a lot of things go on and things can get brushed under, but you're all good friends now.
Yeah, we're good, especially since I'm a lot taller than my older brother, so he doesn't have a choice, really.
Yeah, we should sort of like paint the picture. How tall are you?
I'm 6'6".
And you're quite a broad chap as well, so I can't imagine now anybody would come up to you and bully you in that kind of way, or do you still kind of face that on your sexuality?
It's funny. So my
probably partner, online you do.
Oh, online, yeah. But online, they're keyboard warriors. Yeah, they will sit behind. They're never seen, so they'll say what they want. It's just completely pointless. But recently, my partner Josh and myself were walking in Kennington Park in London, holding hands, and someone came in. Said, why are you holding hands? And I lost my temper a little bit and swore at them, and I was just like, because we're boyfriends. And then this person went absolutely crazy at me. But the other way, he was walking away. I stopped and turned around, and he wouldn't come towards me. And I was like, yeah, good for you.
Yeah.
Like, if you tried something with me, fair play to you, man. You've got a lot of courage. So, if someone was trying to come towards me, I give them some respect because I'm a huge human being. So
you fill a pant, and I'll say that, you know, having seen you in your pants in front of me. By pants, I mean trousers, of course, boyfriend. If you're listening, it's not that kind of show. But tell me about the keyboard warriors. Because I imagine that, you know, you were crowned Mr. Gay England. I remember it last year at Alnwick. Have you been the brunt of that? Because, you know, you're a public face now, and you're tweeting away about rights and things, and it attracts the keyboard warriors. They may not have heard of you before. They may not even know who you are. But you're the bee in the bonnet that day.
Oh, absolutely. No, these we will call them keyboard warriors because that's what they are. They're keyboard warrior trolls. And I would advise anyone to not engage with these people. They just sit at home and thrive on bullying, essentially. And it's something that I don't stand for in the slightest. I also don't give them the pleasure of a reply normally. If I'm feeling like I want a cheeky joke with them, then I will. But more than likely, I will just delete the comment, block the person, and make sure I block anything that comes with that email as well. That is what Instagram or at most social media platforms has actually improved on in recent years, that you can block any further profiles with any emails that they use on the same one. So that's good. So a lot of them have actually disappeared now. But
you still need to report, and you still need to make sure that the social media people know that things are going on.
And at the end of the day as well, people need to remember that they're only words, okay? It might be hard-hitting for some people sometimes, but don't engage. If you engage with bullies, it's exactly what they want, and that is just attention, because their life is just not interesting enough to have any interest in. So,
and particularly when it is a cyberbully, because it isn't
sure.
The case of somebody in a park that you can stop and turn around and say, really?
Yeah.
There's none of that. It's just somebody who then they've done you, and now they're going to go do the next celebrity, and then they're going to do the footballer, and they're going to do, you know, because that's what they do. That's how they feed off.
In fact, actually, just while we're talking about this, I do want to add, I recently was told about a forum online, and a lot of people said, no, Paul, you are a bit of a public, you have a public face now. I wouldn't Google this. So instantly, I Googled it.
Of course, of course. I'd be the same.
I have become a little bit more hard-shelled about stuff like this, so it doesn't bother me. But I went into I typed my name in and the actual name of this forum website, and it talks about loads of different gay guys, specifically just gay guys, and it's other gay guys saying the most derogatory, horrible things possible. And I just went through mine. They were saying I was a terrible actor, a terrible singer, an attention seeker, just a disgusting human being. I'm pathetic. I'm a waste of space. And as I was reading it, I was like, the irony of this group is unreal, that they had to create a forum just so they could
vent
about vicious, malicious stuff. And they were asking for naked photos. Has anyone got naked photos of me? Just so you know, there aren't any because I don't share them. So I don't take them, to be honest with you.
Oh, no. I think we said something there.
Not at all. Well, I've had a monogamous relationship with my partner, so I don't need to worry about stuff like that. But I won't say it's an atrocious place. I'll just say it's a really sad and pathetic place. And as I was reading it, I was laughing because I wasn't offended. I just felt sorry for the people writing all of this stuff. And I think there was about 16 pages worth of stuff that had been said about me. I also, I Googled some of my other friends as well. It was just so nasty what the people were saying. And that's what cyberbullying is today. It's
if they're not talking about your love, you're not doing something right.
Do you know what I mean?
That's what I always think. You know, they've got to be talking about you because therefore you're making an impact and it's their little sad lives. By the time this interview goes out, we will know who Mr. Gay Europe is. So we're going to skip that and I'm going to give you the crown right now. There you go. We don't need to turn up at the weekend and compete for it. It's yours. Every Mr. Gay has a project. What is yours that you want to work on and why?
So I believe strongly that if you want to encourage change in the world, change comes through children and educating your children, because the children will then go to their parents and educate their parents. Like, I will happily say that I've educated my parents on gay rights and gay equality, and it's something they grew up with and weren't used to, when they grew up. So I've educated my parents. And for a project, I would like to, what I have done since I've actually won Mr. Gay England, to go to schools to create programs or drama-based programs where you can teach about online bullying, bullying in school and how it's not acceptable, and just educating straight people, allies, and the LGBT people, all the kids who are unsure about themselves in secondary school especially. Oh God, I did a presentation of this project actually at South Shields Town Hall, and a woman came up to me afterwards and spoke about her son who tried to commit suicide twice and then eventually did. And it just brought me to tears and I broke down in front of her, and she just said, had we had something like what you've just said you want to do when my son was alive, he would still be alive, I think, because he just didn't know how to deal with it. And he was a teenager at the time. And that's why. Because children don't know. They will go through at young ages now. Some of them don't know who they are. Some of them are trans. Some of these, they have no idea whether they like a boy, or maybe it's because their friends like a boy or girls. And it's just reaffirming that it's okay to discover who you are. You don't need to have these political barriers and what you're told by your government or just by the social norm of things, so you can actually discover who you are.
So would that come in full circle? Would that have helped the young Paul who was at the end of bullying when you were a kid? Would that have helped you growing confidence or just to be able to be in a room talking about issues?
I'm telling you now, if some of the schools that I went into, the Duchess High School in Northumberland, props to them because they have a pride club. Now, if I had a pride club when I was at school, that would have solved so many issues for so many people. Just going to that now and actually seeing that these kids, you know, they put glitter on, they celebrate pride, they just celebrate being a human being, whether they're, you know, an ally, straight, gay, bi, lesbian, transgender, whatever. They just celebrate who they are. And like I constantly say to people, we should be celebrating our differences and not judging everyone by, you know, not being a sheep. Like, I don't want to be a sheep. Being a sheep was boring, like, for 5 minutes, and I decided, nah, I don't want to do that anymore. So,
and that's it. I mean, I've heard, like, lots of people, like, complaining about schools having pride clubs. They're not gay clubs. Yeah. They're not lesbian clubs or trans clubs. They're pride. And if you as a young person don't have pride in yourself and in life and in your peers and in those around you, then what kind of human being are you going to become, you know? So yeah. Never be scared of the word pride.
Yeah. I would also just like to say, being a homosexual isn't a learnt thing. No, it is. Sorry. Being homophobic is a learnt thing. Okay, you're not born homophobic. You're not born racist. They're all learnt things. So education, again, comes full circle, is the key to educating families and letting their kids go in and do pride clubs. So, yeah.
Whereas being homosexual, you have to learn a lot of things in life, but that's for a different podcast.
Yeah.
Maybe we can monetize that later on. Paul, always delicious speaking to you. Good luck with your project.
Thank you so much.
And as Paul leaves us, I'm now joined by Mr. Gay Ukraine, Denis Tsanin. Well, I tried.
Say that, Denis.
Just Denis, the gorgeous Denis. Now, I'm going to say that Denis is a little bit nervous because, you know, he tells me his English is not very good. It is fantastic. It's better than my Ukrainian. But Denis, what other languages do you speak?
I speak Russian, Ukrainian, Polish, Deutsch, Swedish, and not so much English.
So why is English last? Why did you do all those languages first?
Because I don't have English in the school.
Well, you're doing all right now. So we're going to talk nice and slow, and I'll probably learn a few things. So you are Mr. Gay Ukraine. Which part of Ukraine are you from?
Yes. So I come from a beautiful and cozy city, Odessa, on the Black Sea coast. This is the source of Ukraine.
It's beautiful. I've seen images. Obviously, we're seeing images at the moment, but the pre-images were gorgeous. So before the war started,
yes.
And we'll talk about that,
mm-hmm.
What was life like as an LGBT plus person living in Ukraine? Was it a good life?
So before the war started, the situation in Ukraine was difficult because a lot of people still don't understand us. It's gotten better than before, but it's not possible to hold a gay pride now. Yeah, it was
difficult to
yes.
be gay. So did it have a busy gay scene? Was it vibrant or was it all underground and quiet?
Problem is very much people to now not understand us, so not in Europe, it's very big problems. Now it's better, and I think in future will be good, but now situation is not perfectly. No.
And obviously since the Russian invasion and since the war, what do you know about Odessa? Is it a strong place? Is your family still there?
So my family is there also, but my parents live now with me in Spain.
So they managed to get out before the war?
Yes.
And are friends still there? Do you manage to speak to them or?
Sometimes yes, yeah.
And they're doing okay?
Yeah.
As best as you can.
Yes,
as best
yes.
as you can.
Yeah.
So you're living in Spain now? Whereabouts?
I live in Spain now, yeah. 6 months.
So where in Spain?
In Gran Canaria.
Gran Canaria. And I bet it's Maspalomas.
Yes. And
and I bet you work in the Jumbo Center.
I'm very happy.
So that's different. Odessa, Gran Canaria.
Yeah.
Odessa, not very LGBT. Mm. Gran Canaria, very LGBT.
Yes.
Are you happy?
I'm happy.
Being who you are?
I'm happy because I can be gay, open gay. Normally, I'm open gay. But in Ukraine, I can't go in the street and say for all people, but, you know, I'm gay. Or
or hold somebody's hand.
Yeah, it's not normal. But in Spain, in more Europe, it's normal. It's normal.
And yeah. That's what you would want, hopefully, when Ukraine wins the war and normality comes back. That's what you'd like for Ukraine, to be more Spain, more Europe, more gay-friendly?
I hope that, but I don't know what happened tomorrow.
No, nobody does, my love. Nobody does. Well, let's hope that does happen.
Yeah.
What would it mean if you won Mr. Gay Europe, if you became the winner? Does it mean anything to you, or is this just a journey?
No, I would be happy because I can't fight this discrimination and help LGBT people.
That's good. No, it's good. So if Ukraine won, that's a big, powerful message to send back to people in Ukraine.
Yes.
That gay people are accepted.
Yeah.
And
very much people wait for me now from Ukraine.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Ah, you're a celebrity. You've become a superstar in Ukraine. So what's your message to those people listening to you today?
Yeah, I can say love each other. Appreciate each other, help others, and everything will be fine with us then. It is necessary to respect the choices of others, no war, no discrimination or homophobia.
So how do you say in Ukrainian, you are gorgeous? We're not going on the questions now. I've thrown away the questions that I've given you.
Я тебе кохаю. Я тебе кохаю.
Oh, thank you very much, Dennis. That's nice of you, isn't it? It's been lovely speaking to you. You've got a gorgeous smile.
Спасибо.
A placebo to you as well. See, I know a bit of Ukrainian, don't I? If you would like to find out about Dennis, about Paul, about Andrea or Kevin, head over to the itsmrgay.com website, or you can check out their socials, Mr. Gay Europe. You can also head over to prideradio.co.uk and see some interviews that we did as well of Mr. Gay England and Mix Drag England as well. That's the big interview with Mr. Gay Europe. For worthy winners, who's going to win the title? Well, like I say, by the time this goes out, you'll all know. I know that they're all my favourites.